and welcome to Seeking the Gospel Truth. I'm Giselle Aguiar, and welcome to Holy Week, where we'll walk in Jesus' steps to the cross to understand what he and his disciples lived through in Jesus' last days as a human on earth. If you're new to the podcast, you can listen to my personal testimony in the first three episodes. I pray that as you hear this message today, it will encourage you to read the Gospels, the good news of Jesus' true salvation, your one-way, nonstop ticket to heaven. So please tap the subscribe button and also share this with your friends. I'm sure there's someone in your life who could use a little spiritual renewal. We all can. The episode will begin after this short message. As we continue our walk through Holy Week, we are in the upper room with Jesus and his 12 disciples. It was the Last Supper when Jesus and his disciples celebrated the Passover meal together. It was also Jesus' last meal on earth as a human. Every time as believers we take communion, we honor Jesus and the sacrifice he made for humankind, taking our sins away. And I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which I give for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice to you." That phrase, "do this in remembrance of me." There's no magic about partaking in Holy Communion or the Last Supper. It's simply sharing bread and wine, or grape juice, symbolizing wine, with fellow believers and remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we could be free from sin. All believers should be able to share in the communion. There is no law in the New Testament that says that you have to confess your sins to a priest first or that you have to be baptized first. If you believe that Jesus died taking away your sins, then you can participate in Holy Communion. Oh, and you don't get grace points if you do. You don't lose grace points if you don't. Instead of having to ask for forgiveness by sacrificing a lamb each time, Jesus became the sacrificial lamb. It was the ultimate sacrifice. That's why Jesus had to die. And I did a podcast a few weeks ago on why did Jesus have to die. So I go specifically into that. But we continue in Matthew 26, verses 27 to 29. "And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, 'Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom.'" The new covenant. Well, I'm going to add something here that's not in the blog article. The Jews had specific rules about kosher food. When you eat kosher chicken, all the blood is drained from it because blood is life. And I actually, this is really explained very well in Through the Word. This just escaped me. And Through the Word. So Jews were not supposed to drink blood because blood is life. Now, with this new covenant, Jesus is changing that. He's telling his disciples, and you know, and in the book of Acts, it goes into the followers of Jesus, the new believers, about the new covenant. So with all this, the old covenant between God and the Jews was replaced by this new covenant. Moreover, this covenant was not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles or non-Jewish people. But the disciples still didn't understand. And Jesus told them that they would fall away or scatter. And Jesus predicted Peter's denial. So now we're in Mark 14, verses 26 to 31. Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. And the hymn that they probably sang was probably Psalm 118. And I did a podcast on that too. The link is in the blog article. On the way, Jesus told them, "All of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." And that's from Zechariah 13:7. And Jesus continues, "But after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter said to him, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me." "No," Peter declared emphatically, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the others vowed the same. What? Another betrayal? First Judas? Now Peter? Peter, to whom Jesus said that he'd built the church upon his rock? Not Peter. So now we go, we're in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's an olive grove just outside Jerusalem. Here is one of the first places that we really see Jesus' humanity. And I'm reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 26 to 46. "Then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, 'Pray that you will not give in to temptation.' He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine.' Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood." Like great drops of blood. He wasn't actually bleeding. Okay. "At last he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. 'Why are you sleeping?' he asked them. 'Get up and pray, so that you will not give in to temptation.'" Now, knowing what was ahead of him, Jesus still prayed, "Your will be done, not mine." This goes to show us that we need to ask God what his will is for our lives. It might not be what we think is right, or you know, what we think we should be doing. It's God's will, not ours. Okay, now Jesus is betrayed and arrested. And I'm reading from Matthew 26:47-53. "But even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached, led by Judas, one of the 12 disciples. Judas walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. But Jesus said, 'Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?' When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, 'Lord, should we fight? We brought swords.' And one of them struck at the high priest's slave, slashing off his right ear. But Jesus said, 'No more of this.' And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus spoke to the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him. 'Am I such some dangerous revolutionary,' he asked, 'that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day, but this is your moment, the time when the power of darkness reigns. Boy, that was really dramatic. Now, that was Matthew. Now, here's John's eyewitness account, which is a little bit different. After saying these things, Jesus crossed the Kidron Valley with his disciples and entered a grove of olive trees. Judas, the betrayer, knew this place because Jesus had often gone there with his disciples. The leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. Now, with blazing torches, lanterns, and weapons, they arrived at the olive grove. Jesus fully realized all that was going to happen to him, so he stepped forward to meet them. "Who are you looking for?" he asked. "Jesus the Nazarene," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. As Jesus said, "I am he," they all drew back and fell to the ground. Once more, he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" Again, they replied, "Jesus the Nazarene. I told you that I am he. And since I am the one you want, let these others go." He did this to fulfill his own statement. "I did not lose a single one of those you have given me." Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me?" That's from John 18, verses 1 through 11. It's interesting that Luke is the only one that mentions Jesus healing the soldier's ear, and John is the only one that mentions the soldier's name, Malchus. It's not that one is wrong and the other right. It's showing different witness viewpoints. Luke is a historian, so he interviewed eyewitnesses to get the story. John was there. He may have been closer to Jesus and saw him heal the soldier's ear. And I have a podcast, Who Wrote the Gospels, which kind of explains the different points of view between John and Luke and Mark and Matthew. But the torture and suffering was just starting. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the Thank you for listening to this episode. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 through 22, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Jesus is knocking. It's up to you to open the door. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out to me via my website or social media. The links are in the show website. There, too, you'll find links to my two favorite free Bible study apps, YouVersion Bible app and Through the Word. These will make it easy for you to get into the habit of reading the Bible daily. Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be